T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Zach, what kind of father you think Brady Quinn's going to be when those kids get a little bit older?
Former athlete, quarterback. You know what? I feel like...
Very competitive dude. The word is, even done playing now, very competitive in everything he does. Brady Quinn, Fox Sports college and NFL football analyst, joins us. Brady, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Damn straight. I'm very, very competitive.
When you start with a damn straight, you know it.
I'm trying to figure out who told me one day there was like somebody you hang out with goes, oh, damn, Brady, no matter what we do, man, that dude is competitive. Would that have been Darlington or somebody? I don't know. I'm not sure who.
Probably Darlington. But you should talk to my wife about it. That's why she doesn't work out with me. She thinks, I don't see any problem with that, but that's why we can't work out together.
Hey,
that is perfect.
All right, we're going to jump in. We've been getting ripped. Apparently, I'm an old grumpy man that I don't think what LeVar Ball does is I'm not with it. I have no respect for the guy at all, just watching him. And since he's made himself a hot topic that we can't get rid of, your take on LeVar Ball?
I hate questioning like a father and what he's choosing to do with his sons, but him being outspoken, I think it's kind of what you'd expect, right? I mean, the guy loves his sons. He wants the best for them. But ultimately, is it what's best for them? And whether we should be the ones to talk about that or not, that's kind of the industry that we're in. So let's talk about it. I personally don't think it's great for any of them. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know if you guys watched the game that they're in, that league in Lithuania. Like, you could go to a Lifetime Fitness here and play a pickup game. And I think that would be similar competition to what his kids are playing right now. I mean, let's be honest. Like, from watching that, I was like, I go to Lifetime Fitness down here and playing just as competitive, and it looks like just as athletic pickup games. Like, I don't know what league that is. I'm not sure what exactly the point is if he ultimately wants his sons to eventually get back to the NBA. Because, you know, again, he's got a 16-year-old over there. I mean, the littlest one is 16 years old?
Yep.
And I know he's playing professional basketball, but, you know, because he's accepting money for it, he's foregoing the dream of, you know, maybe going to college and playing for a college team at some point, which is a cool experience in itself, being able to kind of grow and mature in that way. Because that's the other thing is like the whole process of playing sports and going to college and doing all that stuff. You know, you're kind of like growing up as a man. Like, sports teach you a lot of things. And I just think at some point, it's okay if the kids kind of leave the nest and get away from you. And maybe that'd be good for some of these kids. And it just seems like he doesn't want that to happen. So I kind of feel bad because almost in a way they're kind of sheltered. They're not being able to live certain experiences, you know, by going to maybe college and enjoying that like you'd hope they would. And maybe going the more conventional route to try to get to the NBA. Look, in the long run, if this works out and all three of the boys play in the NBA, great. They're fulfilling their dreams. But it just seems like from where they're at now in Lithuania, they're not doing themselves any favors. Because, like I said, you just come to Lifetime Fitness. I'm sure you could find a good pickup game there or anywhere else.
I'm thinking more competitive pickup game could be on Venice Beach out there in California. You know what I mean? Like one of those really competitive games on the beach out there. Then go to Lithuania. I understand what LeVar Ball is trying to do with these kids. I guess I'm trying to at least, but I think this is what's best for LeVar and not his kids sometimes.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is it seems all self-serving. And I think that's the one thing I've learned. Like, I've got a 17-month-old daughter, and the one thing I've learned is
she's going to be an athlete too. Yeah, you got
we'll see about that.
There it is.
She's a tiny little thing, but you know, you're sacrificing for them the rest of your life. Every day I wake up and it's what's best for my daughter, what's best for my family. And that always comes first. That's your priority. And it sounds terrible to say, but I don't know that that's always what he's most concerned with. Like, I don't know if he's self-aware enough to say, like, is this actually good for me, or is this good for my sons, my family?
All right, let's move to the National Football League. With these four playoff games, one thing I've noticed, there's one guy that gets ripped more than anybody else, Blake Bortles. He got it again yesterday, answered it, and left. And he had a happy face. I give him credit for, yeah, they're getting on LeBron James that he sucks, and so I know I suck. And then he got up and left. What do you think about Blake Bortles' play and how he's handled everything?
Well, I feel like there's no doubt about it. He didn't play well last week. And he's really having a hard time completing even short passes,
right,
screens, anything under 5 yards. At this point, it's a confidence deal. I mean, think about when he first came into the league. He was supposed to be the franchise guy, which I always think is interesting. Anytime you're first drafted, you already take that label. Like, that label is earned over time. And I think it's something that, like, it's not just really earned. It's actually also, like, co-signed by the team. So, you know, that never really took place for him, but people kind of anointed him as that. And then all of a sudden you started to see the drop-off in 1 year, more interceptions. People started talking about throwing motion. That was, I'm sure, in the back of his head. And that was his whole project in the offseason. Now it's gotten to the point where, you know, no one really believes in him. He's got some bad games. He's getting benched for Chad Henne. And then they kind of bring him back in. It's just, it's been kind of a whirlwind over the course of his career. And at this point, I'm just not sure how else he can react, because I'm sure he doesn't have as much confidence as he once did. I'm sure he realizes when he drops back on third down and he's scrambling for first downs and you know, helping his team win, he realizes that that's maybe one of his only weapons he's got in his arsenal at this point, because he's really struggling throwing the football. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out in this week's matchup on Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a really good defense. They were number one this year and as far as getting sacks and pressure. So, you know, hopefully he can have maybe a more carefree attitude, knowing the circumstances of where they're playing, who they're going up against, and play a little bit better. But he just looks like a guy.
Yeah, no confidence. I'm with you. That was my take.
You know, it's weird. The weird thing is, and I've said this all the time, ever since he left his old girlfriend, that Lindsay Duke girl that everyone's raving about,
yeah, right,
ever since he left her, man, it's like everything's gone downhill. I think he needs to find her phone number again and give her a call.
Right? I know, Brady. They said he was banging them three at a time in Jacksonville, though. When he got to all the Jacksonville girls, he kind of forgot about the old original, didn't he?
Yeah, well, maybe that's what he needs. He just needs to bring back the Duke.
Bring back the original. That's it. All right, yeah. Speaking of, I guess you could say, drama, are you believing all the drama going on in New England right now with Brady, Belichick, and Robert Kraft? Because I sure think where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke right now with those three.
Well, I don't buy into it at all. I mean, look, when you've worked together as long as those guys have, that's part of it. I got to be honest with you. Like, everyone makes a big deal about, especially in the article, too, Tom Brady blowing up on the sidelines. Like, he's done that for years.
Right.
I mean, for years. I mean, it doesn't matter what coordinator. He's done it with Josh. He did it with Bill O'Brien. He did it with Charlie Weiss. Like, Charlie Weiss and I specifically had a blow up in college. We were on the road playing Michigan State. It was raining like all get out, and then the wind was whipping everywhere, and we were having a hard time getting a quarterback center exchange. And we had some choice words in the sidelines as soon as that came off, and he kind of said something to me, and I kind of said something back, which he didn't really want to comment off of, and that was kind of it. And it happens. And look, and he told me, he's like, hey, look, Tommy and I got in fights like that. He's like, it happens. You know, you guys passionate. That's the kind of stuff that goes on. So to think like these guys have played together for so long, there's not going to be some disagreements about stuff. You know, that's always going to happen. But the whole Jimmy Garoppolo story about him being happy he got traded and all this other stuff and not helping him out, I did the Week 17 game. I sat down with Jimmy in a production meeting, and actually the rest of my production crew didn't come. I was just in San Francisco by myself talking with everyone, so it was one-on-one. And he said, it's the furthest thing from the truth. You know, he helped him buy a car. He helped him kind of figure out where to live. He helped him with a lot of things. And maybe that initially wasn't the case when he was a rookie, but, you know, as time wore on, like he really helped him as far as how to take care of his body and all these different things and give him these tips. So, I just think it's sensationalized. I think there's some, you know, people really looking for things to write about and get clicks and try to create some drama. Because ultimately, what does it matter? They won the AFC East. They're 13-3. They're the right, number one seed. They're probably going to win the Super Bowl. So what does it matter? I mean, in the big grand scheme of things, they're still playing as good as they ever have, and I don't think anyone's going anywhere after this year.
Because I want it to end in New England.
See, by the way,
that's why.
All those things you just said, I've been telling Zach, and he's gone, no, there's got to be something to this. And I've been saying, listen, I think that's all BS.
None at all? No power struggle at all with those guys?
I think the only thing there might have been a little issue with, because I think everybody's going through this right now, Brady, in professional sports, is more guys are using outside trainers and less with the trainers are getting paid by the team. And I think that has been an adjustment for everybody. Hey, by the way, Ryan Tannehill was using a quarterback coach outside of Adam Gase. I think there's a little bit of an adjustment for everybody when I hear that.
Yeah, I think it's because players feel like there might be something else going on outside, and you got to, you know, say it's okay, because, you know, these guys want to try to find the best and they want to do the best and all that. Look, I'll tell you a story. There's a guy named Dr. Vitanzi. They call him Dr. V out in Denver. When I first got there, he was a part of their medical staff during their championship runs with John Elway. And just like what it sounds like happened with Alex Guerrero, kind of started butting heads with Greek, Steve Ananopoulos. He's their medical trainer there. He's kind of started to butting heads, maybe taking a little bit too much credit for what was going on with those back-to-back Super Bowls. And so now, you know, he no longer works for the team. They've got a different chiropractor that's there that works for the team. And that's what happens. I mean, literally, like everyone wants to take credit for it because they know that's their time to seize the opportunity to take credit and to try to, you know, bankroll something from a business standpoint. So it happens all the time, to your point, Joe.
Yeah. Hey, also, I wanted to ask you about this New York. I think the New York Giants job is a really, really good job. I think it's one of the best professional franchises, and I'm saying that after they've been god-awful this year and just look totally dysfunctional. But who takes that job? What ends up happening?
You know, it's funny you say that. I think it's a great job, too. I think it's anyone's, you know, maybe dream job as far as the NFL, just because a lot of these coaches are obviously older. It's what they grew up with. The New York Giants, okay? It's what we all kind of think about. But the problem is whoever goes there is going to be underneath David Gettleman. You know, it's kind of his hire. And that's why when people floated out like Nick Saban, when Bruce Arians
joked
about that,
right,
or any other name you want to throw out there, I think ultimately, like, you kind of got to check your ego a little bit at the door, because it's going to be Gettleman's show. He's the general manager. He's the guy they hired. He's the guy they're, you know, having to help find a head coach. So I think that's kind of an interesting scenario, and that's why you'll probably see a guy like Matt Patricia, who's a first-time head coach, who comes off, you know, it comes from as being a defensive assistant. It'll be his first time kind of figuring out his culture, figuring out what he wants to do. Probably working with Gettleman in that sense. I would be surprised if it was another coach who had former head coaching experience just for that reason.
Brady, if you take that team over right now, whether you're the head coach or Gettleman at this point, you keep Eli and draft a quarterback, what do you do there with that high draft pick, and what do you do with Eli?
Well, I think it all depends on my evaluation process of what's out there, right? Am I that sold on Darnold or Rosen, Josh Allen, whoever else you want to throw into the conversation? Am I that sold on them that I really need to take them at number two, because I'm sacrificing the opportunity to greatly improve my team by taking best overall available player? And whether that player is a Derwin James, which I don't know if they need much help at the safety position, considering their depth there and who they're
Collins is a stud out there, yeah.
Yeah, so they don't need that. You know, Quentin Nelson might be the best offensive lineman in the draft, but he's a guard. Do you spend that kind of, you know, money and then spend that kind of value on a guard? Maybe it's a little high there.
Maybe if you're the Dolphins,
so you gotta make a decision. So you got to make a decision as far as, you know, what you want to do and if you want to take one of those guys, because Eli's definitely going to be on the roster in my mind. It just comes down to, you know, how they feel about some of these other quarterbacks and if they feel like they're the heir apparent.
Brady, always good talking to you, man. Really appreciate you coming on. You're going to be a great father, man. I can't wait to see it as they get older.
I appreciate it, Joe. Let's just hope this. Let's hope Blake Bortles finds Lindsey Duke's number and he gives a call back with a more competitive game.
So if he gets the number tonight, are you calling for an upset this weekend or what?
No, man.
You know what? If there was a status update on that, I mean, yeah, maybe. But we need to figure it out somehow. So maybe one of you two guys can.
I'm on it.
Number, get his number.
I'm on it.
Situation.
That's what I'm going to spend the rest of the day today
doing,
Brady. Thank you, Brady.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.